to Sweet Kicks with Bricks, the show which helps you decide if a game is worth spending your hard-earned money on or a try before you buy. Now here's your host, Barry Ricks.
Hey guys, welcome to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. I am your host, Barry Ricks, and today's Kickstarter highlight is Isle of Monsters, and I have one of the masterminds behind the game. I have Seth with me today. How's it going, Seth?
Great, good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your company, Mayday Games?
Okay. Well, Mayday Games, I'm Seth Hyatt, and I was living in China. We're about to relocate back to the U.S., and I'm the owner of Mayday Games. We've been in business since about 2008, and Isle of Monsters is on Kickstarter now, and it's our 32nd successful campaign, so we've done quite a bit on there.
This isn't your first rodeo to Kickstarter.
No, not quite. We've learned a few things.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting. So let's talk about Isle of Monsters. What is it, and what can people expect from it when they play?
The game itself is a fairly light game. It's more of a filler game than anything. It's got comes in four phases. There's the nurture phase, the mature phase, the scare phase, and the cleanup phase. But basically what you're doing is you're trying to evolve your monsters and then have them be the strongest monster when they face off in the arena. So if you played Pokemon Go, it looks a little bit like that and it feels a little bit like that, but it's not exactly that. So I wish it were a little more Pokemon Go like, given the nature of the craze that game has hit on. But it did happen to have some of the artwork that's somewhat similar, and it does have a little bit of the same mechanics. So it does have a little bit of crossover there. It's definitely a lighter, easy, fun family game.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of the artwork, who did the illustrations for it?
Allison is our full-time graphic designer. She could tell you better, but let me double-check and make sure I get the name right here.
Because the art style looks familiar, like maybe the artist did the game Catacombs?
Yes, that's true. He did. And I'm looking for his name, and I don't see it in here. I know it's in here. I just am not finding it. Anyway, the artist is the same one that did Catacombs. He's done several other things and has really a great art design, so we really have enjoyed that. His art is really really awesome, so does have that unique feel to it, and I think people will recognize his art, like you said.
Yeah, so how did Isle of Monsters come about, like the idea and the process? Uh-huh.
Well, the game itself was made by here he goes. I actually found the where's the artist? Publisher, designer, producer, graphic design. No, everything but the artist is on here in the credits. Strange. Anyway, Joshua and Nicola are the game designers, and they pitched this game to us, I believe it was about a year and a half ago at Origins 2015, I want to say. But they just kind of, they pitched it to us, and we really enjoyed the game, liked the look of it. We tested it for quite a while, and then we went out and got some artwork and got the design working, and that's how it came about. So it's easy to grasp. It's easy to understand. We really like these kind of games that you can explain in 5 minutes, play in 20 to 30, and sells for 20 to 30 bucks. So
definitely. I like that as well. You know, every once in a while, of course, you want to get down and get a, you know, a long, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour game every once in a while. But I would say that the large majority of my, you know, tabletop gaming is the 30-minute games, really quick, so you can, something you can play really fast before, you know, you go to bed or something like that, and it's a format that I've seen, it seems to be picking up a little bit more. Like, when people think of board games, they just think of something you spend a lot of time at, but more and more of these quick-paced games are coming out that it's kind of taking over a little bit, and it's fun. It's great to see the diversity that's coming through the board game industry, and definitely, you know, Kickstarter has an influence on that.
Yeah, I love playing harder core Euro games, Twilight Imperium, Food Chain Magnet. I just played recently, and it's a really fun game. Longer, awesome games are great, but if I'm playing with my family, or if I've got a group of friends coming over, sometimes there's some that are more casual gamers, and I find that it works really well, and they have a better experience if you play maybe four or five or six games that are lighter, easier games, and kind of give them a shotgun approach to the games, play a lot of filler games. So playing a few 20 or 30 minute games where everybody has a chance to win seems to go over really well, and they're more casual. So we'll quite often play Ink and Gold or Dixit or something like that, and then we'll mix in some of our games too, like Get Bit or Walk the Plank or Garbage Day, something like that. And that tends to go really well for us. And then if you have people coming and going, they're not committed to having to be there all night, and it doesn't ruin the feel of the game if someone has to leave or So I really enjoy that. I'm finding that more of our friends are more open to playing with us because we play those styles of games too. So, and they definitely have been commercially successful, at least some of those other games have been.
Definitely. So would you consider Isle of Monsters kind of, you know, what the phrase, I'm doing bunny ears, you can't see me doing the bunny ears, but the like a gateway game to expose people maybe to the broader world of board games nowadays?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's a casual game, I'd say, or maybe a filler type game. It's a game you play between big games if you want to take a light break. It's great because you can play it with just about anybody, and the mechanics are pretty easy to understand and grasp. And so it's good for children, but it also has enough depth to it. The decisions are, there's enough there to interest gamers as well. So, yeah, it's definitely what I consider a gateway game. And really, we try to produce games that are almost all of them are gateway games that we feel have not only good broad appeal, but also have mass market appeal. So one day maybe you'll see one of our games in Walmart or someplace.
Yeah, no, that'd be great. That'd be great to see it in a general retail.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that it's good for kids. Now, I see the game, the age is 10 plus. Would you say that's the right around age, or do you think maybe a younger audience, maybe like, I don't know, 7, 8, or 9 could play the game as well?
Yeah, I'd say as young as 6 or 7 could easily play it with a little bit of coaching and some practice. But we found that if we do much lower than 10, then if we say 6 and up, and then you have a 6 or 7 year old kid who doesn't grasp it or who gets frustrated, then maybe it'll make parents feel bad or there's maybe misinformation. And it's always easier to play with your 9 year old when it says 10 and up and go, oh, look how smart my kid is. So we prefer to put a little higher number on there than probably is actual, because it's better to err on the side of ease of use than to make people feel bad that their kid can't pick it up. My 4-year-old doesn't grasp it. Why'd you put 5 and up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So. No, and I've noticed that a lot with board games, that they tend to do that. They tend to put the higher age, not necessarily for you know, mature content reasons, but for the complexity of the game.
Yeah.
You know, just saying, oh, well, this age range can get it. It's not necessarily means that it's bad or scary for kids. It's just the you know, mechanics of the game is at such that a 10-year-old or in that age range would understand how to play it. So I have noticed that a lot. But of course, people understand that some of those ratings are, you know, correct with content.
Yep.
So there are some pretty mature games out there. So be careful
for sure.
As well.
We actually put 13 and up on a lot of our games that go to Europe, because if you have a game for 12 or under, the testing standards, it's not that we're not going to meet those standards, but you have to do more tests on your game, and it's more expensive to produce it, to get it to import into Europe. So a lot of times we'll put 12 or 13 and up just to avoid those problems of having to get extra certificates before we can import it. So there's lots of factors involved in that, but I'd rather err on the side of inclusiveness and making sure that even younger kids can go try it than have somebody come back and say, man, this game is not for 10 and up. My 12-year-old doesn't understand it. That would be really bad.
Definitely. So as we're recording the show today, you're at the end of the campaign, essentially. There's 4 days left to go. So people that are listening to this, whether you're listening it on Friday the 19th when we're recording, or listening in a couple days from now, you still have time. But you guys were successfully funded within 3 hours of launching the campaign. So that's exciting.
Yeah, it's really nice. We have, let's see, just this year we've done, this is our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our 7th campaign this year, and all of them have funded in less than a day. We have a really good following, 10,000 plus backers or 9,600 backers have backed us this year so far. And whenever we have a new product come out, then generally the people that have bought our other games that enjoyed them will come and look at them and buy them again. So we have a nice following on Kickstarter, having done so many before.
Definitely. And, I see your games and I always want you to come on the show because you guys have great products. And of course, Seth, you're always very articulate when you come on the show as well.
I'm glad you think so.
Well, that's exciting. 4 days left to go on the campaign. This is going to happen. It's going to be, this game is going to get into people's hands. And speaking of that, do you guys have of course, it's always tentative because of, X, Y, and Z, but do you guys have an idea of when it's going to get out to the backers?
Right now we're forecasting it for, let's see, it is for February of 2017, but we fully expect to deliver this. I would like to have it as a Christmas present for everybody. So we're just trying to,
that would be awesome.
We're trying to do that, but it's better to, under promise and over deliver than to have people disappointed. So we put a funding goal saying estimated delivery February, but I fully expect it'll be done this year. So that'd we do awesome. Have it's at 25,000 now. We have a nice stretch goal at 30, and I expect that we'll reach that. So there's still time to back, and there's still some things that we can unlock and to help people feel like they're more part of this campaign. So we're hoping that people will jump in here the last few days. And typically the last few days are much stronger than the middle of the campaign. You have this big arc where the beginning's strong, the middle's kind of flat, and then the end is strong. So
yes, definitely. And I've noticed that with the different Kickstarter campaigns as well. It's just kind of plateauing in the middle, and that surge at the end, you'll get a bunch of people all of a sudden.
Yep.
But that's exciting. Seth, I'm super excited for you. Isle Monsters, I'm sure, is going to be a fantastic game, and you guys put out quality products on a consistent basis. And I know that running a Kickstarter is, this, like you said, this is your 32nd one. And so, you kind of understand what's going on, but it still consumes your time. So definitely I appreciate does. You taking time out of your schedule to come on the show today and talk about Isle of Monsters.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me on. I'll be back anytime you like, and we have three more Kickstarters kind of already planned out and ready to go here coming this year. So we're going to continue to launch stuff. And if you missed this one, you can always check back for other ones.
Definitely. And we'll definitely have Seth come back on the show. So thank you again. And thank you to Dan Patrice. He's Dan the Board Game Man. He created our intro and outro, and you could find him at the Geek All-Stars. And remember to back your projects wisely.
Thanks for listening to Sweet Kicks with Bricks. If you'd like to mail the show, send any questions, comments, or interview requests to sweetkickswithbricks@gmail.com. Sweet Kicks with Bricks is a Closet Geek Studios production. For more information on The Closet Geek, please head to closetgeek.net.